The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Taking your call, 770-5633. A lot going on this morning. Hey, Holly, you have some of the latest numbers on the turnout. I was talking with Brian about that a little earlier and other people. And you got some news? News here. I know Jackson County, pretty good. Josephine County beating Jackson a little bit. What's the story?
Well, it's shocking what the early vote is turning out. You know, the Republican Party has got 55% of their vote already in, and the Dems have 51%. But what's really a big surprise is the NABs are already at 22%. And the fact is, they usually, in an entire election, the NABs only turn in maybe 12 to 18% of their vote.
Yeah, by the way, if you don't know, folks, NAV is a non-affiliated voter, okay? Just want to make sure they know. Right. Yeah, people may wonder if you're talking about an SUV or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. We're all used to talking like NABs, but that's a big shock. That means that people are not used to getting out of their armchair or weighing in, are really weighing in this time. And we're, you know, we are expecting to get up in the 80-plus percent of Republicans voting. I'm sure the Democrats will be getting out. But the NEBs, that'll be interesting to see what they do. They go from 12, say, to 18% up to maybe 40%, which looks like it's entirely possible. That's really going to change the trajectory of this vote this time.
So, boy, a lot of enthusiasm, though, on the Republican side. That's great to see. And turnout is really the point right now, all right? Holly, thank you for the update.
Keep coming out. We need to get people to keep coming out. Don't think this is done. Get out of your armchair and get out to vote.
All right. Thank you very much, Holly. Holly Morton, it is 8:14. Let me grab Mark. Mark is in Rogue River. Hello, Mark. You had a question or you want to talk about Will Lathrop, the Will Lathrop interview there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Been listening for 10 years and first-time call. Will Lathrop is probably the only candidate I've heard that isn't mentioned the word massage parlors. And in Grants Pass, it seems like there's more massage parlors now than churches. And 10 years ago, there weren't any massage parlors. So, you know, the
implication is that quite a bit, now not all, but quite a bit of human trafficking ends up going through the massage parlor industry, right?
Yes, that's what I've heard, yes.
Yeah. I know, I remember there was one that was out on Barnett a number of years ago that a friend of mine, I don't think he's no longer with us. He moved out of the state, but he was telling me about going to the massage parlor on Barnett, and this was over by a supermarket at that point. And he said it was like being back in Vietnam when he was a soldier back in the day, in which, you know, they asked him if he wanted the, you know, the term happy ending, as it were, you know, that right. Sort of stuff. And more of that may be going on than we think, but a lot of this is the sex trafficking industry and human trafficking industry. A lot of this ends up going into some of these. Now, I'm not saying about all, I'm not talking about physical therapists running their, you know, massage therapy studios and things like that. But I think we are talking about a different class of facility, right?
Right. And I'm just wondering why even the local politicians running for office don't even bring it up, because I think it's a detriment to Grants Pass or any community. And you know, that's my opinion.
Well, Will seemed to have a bead for that, so I thought that was it's good thing. All right, thanks for the call, Mark. 770-5633. Let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom, how are you in talent?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Well, you know, just on the last call, you know, if disappointed with the massage parlors in Grants Pass, they go down to Santa Cruz, and I recall one of the massage parlors' name was Dimples.
Dimples?
Dimples.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about the Democrat cheat machine.
Okay.
You know, in 2020, the momentum for Trump being Hitler was a lot larger than it, or a lot more believed than it is now.
Which is kind of funny when you think about that, Tom. I mean, gosh, they had 4 years of Trump as Hitler, and gosh, there was very little Hitlerian stuff going on, if I recall. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, but you have the our media. You know, the same forces that killed John F. Kennedy are the same people that own the media. And the media was, just as much back then portraying Trump as Hitler. But I think the difference now between 2020 and 2024 is that I don't think you're going to have quite the hundreds of people that aided in cheating the 2020 election. I mean, you had truck drivers delivering semi-trucks of ballots going from New York to Pennsylvania.
And why would ballots be going from New York to Pennsylvania in the first place, right?
Oh, I have no idea. And and across the whole country. I mean, the people, the Democrats really, if you think Trump is Hitler, then you have an obligation to make sure Hitler doesn't get elected. So they were, in their own mind, self-justified. And I don't think there's as many people. The Democrats have shot themselves in the foot so many times and so many outrageous, over-the-top things that there's not as many cheater candidates willing to aid and abet the whole cheat machine.
The other thing about the cheat machine is that the cheat machine has to be plausible, okay,
yeah,
in order to be able to have a successful outcome if there is a cheat in some of these swing states, all right? And the momentum, even from Trump's enemies, indicate that it's clearly in his favor. Momentum, enthusiasm. And I can't say it was that way in 2020. This is a different season. There is a happier Trump. There is a more positive Trump. A happy Trump is a good campaigner, okay? Let's be honest, you know, with him. And even though everybody makes outlandish claims on the campaign trail, no matter what side of the aisle you are, I mean, it's just kind of crazy. A happy Trump is a good campaigner, and he's pretty happy out there, and it's a pretty positive message overall.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have trouble pulling a cheat off if this were the case. It's you know, it wouldn't pass the smell test for a great, great portion of the country these days.
Which if it does go against Trump, there's more potential for violence there.
Possible. It is possible.
You know, when Trump had the debate, so-called debate with Harris, I think he lost it. But I was telling people afterwards, yeah, he lost the debate, but her policies are so bad. And she's so bad that you can't fix corrupt as the whole agenda is, you know, the totalitarian state where Democrats want to control everybody and every about everything. I don't think that flies at this point.
All right, Tom, good call as always. 770-5633. Already got a couple of calls waiting, but if you are on hold, I guarantee you'll make it on the air. And let's have a good conversation about whatever happens to be on your mind. Does not have to be about the election either. 20 minutes after 8.
/Kim.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
24 after 8. We'll get back to your calls here in just a moment. I just had the opportunity to get a quick shout in with Will Hill. He's the Executive Director of Consumers Research and a big develop at Boeing. Now, Boeing, of course, big company. It's been involved in this big strike, too, in trying to settle with its machinists union. Will, it's great to have you back on. Good morning, sir.
Great to be with you again, Bill.
So, Will, what is happening in a big development at Boeing that is that you're all hot and bothered about in a good way, I suppose? And this may mean the end of DEI as we know it, I guess. Is this what we're hearing?
Yes, absolutely. Some great news coming out of Boeing. They have decided to completely dismantle and end their DEI department. For your listeners who may not be aware, DEI is basically corporate departments that push race and sex-based quotas throughout the company. Sometimes they focus on senior management. Sometimes they focus on hiring across the board. But the plain fact of the matter is they're racist. They focus on race and sex characteristics rather than people's competency and skills. And we've seen how damaging this can be, especially to a company like Boeing. I mean, people literally trust their lives to this company. We should be focusing on meritocracy and skills, not on race and sex when it comes to hiring and promotion.
Will, is there any evidence that that DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs of any sort have led to problems in the production world or even possibility of planes crashing or jobs not being done correctly due to people being hired for reasons other than being competent? Any evidence at all?
Yes, absolutely. It's been correlation. I mean, the times with which Boeing was at its height was when it was not including race and sex in its hiring and promotion consideration. And since they've started doing that, since they've had a DEI department, you've literally seen planes having the doors fly off mid-flight. They just sent two people to space they were supposed to bring back for NASA, and they've gotten stuck. Their launcher, they're going to have to call in Elon Musk and SpaceX to rescue these two individuals who were supposed to be up there for 2 weeks.
That had to be the most embarrassing thing for Boeing, for a big company like that, ever. You know, to have one of your competitors beat you to space.
Yeah, it's an absolute disaster. And it was shortly after that, the beginnings of this ending of the DEI department, they fired their head of DEI. So I think that suggests right there who they think what the culprit was, including all these incompetents. And that's not to say that there are people from all kind of backgrounds can be competent, but you shouldn't be hiring on that. You should be hiring on the skills and the competency, and that's how you get a great company that can put planes together and space shuttles together that you and I would want to get on, and not ones where the doors fly off or they stick you in space. These people are supposed to be up there for 2 weeks. They're going to be stuck up there for 6 months. Can you imagine that?
Oh,
you go
I know.
On a two-week trip,
yeah.
And you tell your family, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Oh, it's going to be 6 months, honey. Sorry. And
yeah.
That's because of this focus, not on merit and not on skills and not on competency.
Well, what I'm curious about, though, and when I hear about a big company that was so big into DEI and then making a public noise about doing this. Is it possible, though, that there could be a bait and switch? And I think you know where I'm going, in which, okay, we've closed and we've fired the DEI department. That's all gone. But yet the policies and the issues and the hiring techniques that brought us to this point will remain in place. What do you know so far?
That is a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So a couple of things I will note that are troubling about what Boeing did. They said that they reassigned all the people in the DEI department. I don't like that. It may sound cruel, but these DEI folks need to go on to another company. They need to do different jobs entirely. If you let that type of cancerous mentality fester within your company, even if you move them around and put them in different departments, they clearly have a mentality, or they wouldn't have been at that department, that values judging people based on their skin color or their sex. And you just don't want that in the company entirely. And to your point, they're probably going to continue to try and push this kind of ideology at Boeing, which is a huge mistake.
And sometimes you do it by calling it a different name too. You know, you could say it'll be DEI, and they'll rename it Everyone Forward. You know, kind of, you know, something that sounds innocuous, right? You know, it tends to be the way it is.
Exactly. And some companies have gone short of trying to get rid of their DEI department and have dropped some of the letters. So they change it to a diversity and inclusion department instead of equity, which I won't get into the nitty gritty on that, but suffice to say, equity basically means communism. It's the idea that all groups should end up, regardless of skill and merit, we should be, you know, putting our thumb on the scale to make sure all people basically end up in the same position. And because that's so controversial and violates, by the way, the Civil Rights Act and a ton of labor laws, they've been dropping that. But you know that the people who are dropping those acronyms, it's the same folks with the same ideology. They're still pushing the same race and sex focus that they have been before. So, yeah, I think it is, it, you know, I applaud what Boeing's doing. It's too, you know, it's far too late. they should have been doing this, and they should have never had it, and they should have gotten rid of it immediately when they figured out what it was. But I am a little alarmed now that they have done the right thing and gotten rid of it. They need to get rid of these people entirely. You know, having been part of a DEI department should not be something you want to brag about on your CV. People's resumes. I would rather not see. I'd rather see a gap than somebody working at a DEI department because of the really cancerous ideology that it represents.
Well, let's hope that this is the beginning of the end of this. It's still a markedly or a marginally positive piece of news here. So, Will, tell us about Consumers Research. What's that's all about before we take off, and how people can find out more about you.
Absolutely. Well, we're the nation's oldest consumer protection organization, and for the last 4 years, we've been leading the fight in the pushback against DEI and something else called ESG, which is woke asset managers, basically forcing companies like Boeing to put this kind of stuff in place. It's something we didn't touch on, but a lot of this is because people like Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, have been forcing these companies to engage in this kind of discrimination. So we've been focusing on that. If people would like to learn more about what we do, they can follow me on Twitter at Will Hill, WILLHILD, or visit us at consumersresearch.org, consumersresearch.org.
Will Hill, thank you for the talk, and thanks for the good news this morning, okay? Appreciate that.
Great to be with you, Bill.
All right.
Take care.
831 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Now then. Back to your phones. Let me grab line two. Hi, you've been waiting there for a while. Sorry I had you on hold, but I had a last-minute guest. I wanted to grab that one since it was good breaking news. Who's this?
Yes, good morning. This is Tracy from up in the Skagit Valley of Washington, where it's raining today.
Well, the Skagit Valley, of course it's raining there. I lived up in the Seattle area for a while there. What's going on in your world, Tracy?
So take away to something else that's been in the news, and it impacts the folks down there with the Klamath River and whatnot, is we've seen these tragic floods in Spain. And I've actually been in the upper regions of the Júcar River there in Spain before and know the region. And it was a terrible event, and I just want to assure folks, I don't think it can happen here, but the dam removal on the Klamath River they didn't remove the dams there. They actually had one breach many years ago. They rebuilt it, but the dams weren't high enough. And the alerts didn't go out to the people in time. And
is that the flood that destroyed Happy Camp or caused a lot of damage there back in the day?
No, I'm talking about the dams in Spain. They actually had
Dams in Spain. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But this go around, there was just so much water. Can you imagine 20 inches of rain in 12 hours?
That's a lot of rain.
So they have a particular thing first, you know, off the coast of Oregon. It's now, Mr. Roberts would say it's, you know, 55 degree water temperature. Well, there in the off the Med, it was 70 degrees. And then they had this isolated upper-level cold front that got ripped off the jet stream, and it was spinning around and isolated, couldn't get pushed back onto the jet stream and moved away. So it's been spinning there for days and still spinning kind of in the general area. So all this warm, moist air got pushed up into this upper-level cold. And then they have all these mountains around. They're 5,000, 6,000, up to 12,000-foot mountains. And that's why this moisture precipitated out. So this has happened before.
And how do you connect this then with the Klamath Dam removal?
Well, the fact that they should have had the dams higher. Now, they were in a seismic area, okay, where they tried to build higher dams and they had to pull back the height. So, you know, what the point is that, you know, dams have a good thing. They could have been far worse, believe it or not, in Spain, but you know, sometimes there's something called flood prevention. It's not all about the happy salmon. We've got to have flood prevention. And, you know, I really fear for the folks downstream in the Klamath.
Oh, I would, too. I fear for what could be happening to the Happy Camp folks before, because Happy Camp has been attacked and destroyed and had great damage done to it in the past and other communities along that river, too. But, you know, you are fighting, Tracy, a religion. You are fighting a religious faith, and you're also fighting a media that is just happy to regurgitate the happy news releases of those that are thrilled to see the happy fish coming back, and just destroying infrastructure which served us very well for many decades. But take a lesson from the Spain floods. Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate your call. 834. If you're on hold, I'll get to you right after news. Which is next on KMED and 99.3 KBXG, 770-5633. Open phones the rest of the hour.
Johnson Builders is the leading authority of pole building construction in Southern Oregon and Northern California for over 20 years. Save on shops, garages, barns, and covered riding arenas during their winter sale going on now. For commercial, industrial, or residential, they have you covered with the biggest sale of the year.
Online at justintimeappliance.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Logan, another Trump train for tomorrow. Tell us about it in Jackson County. Go ahead.
Yes, 12 o'clock tomorrow, meeting by Kohl's the Mall for the final Trump train / victory lap tour.
The final one. At least, if nothing else, get a good popular vote turnout for that, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Logan. 770-5633. Gene, who is not crazy. We used to call him Crazy Gene, but we changed it around because, you know, the more you watch the news cycle, you realize that crazy is just, well, what it is. Hello, Gene. It's on your mind.
Hey. How are you doing this crazy day?
I'm doing fine. Taking people's calls, by the way, 770-5633. What's on your mind about Medicare? Because you see you keep getting head up on the Medicare, I guess the Medicare scam train of some sort. What's going on in your world?
Well, I just don't trust it. It is the government, after all, and I most certainly do not trust them. And I wonder why they worry so much about my health when I know they don't.
Well, if they're calling you up and trying to get you in, it's because they're more worried about making sure of making their sales quotas, okay?
Well, that's what it seems to me. They're trying to benefit themselves from it. And it irritates me when they keep calling me up and I answer the same questions a million times. And I'm thinking, either these people are stupid or they're so corrupt they can't stop thinking about money for them long enough to figure out they're stupid.
All right. Now, are you on Medicare or not?
No, I'm not. I decided long ago with whatever disease I've got that the doctors are not going to be able to help me. The only person that cares if I live is me.
Well, at least you are caring. I guess the one challenge is you never signed up for Medicare. So what happens? Have you ever had to go to the hospital, you know, for the disease you have?
I haven't been to any kind of a doctor in probably close to two decades.
Wow.
And I'm doing well. If I'm alive, it's because I'm doing it. Hmm.
You are a rare individual in today's world, Gene. You understand that?
Oh, I know I am. That's why I want to keep doing what I'm doing, because I want to stay that person that I've always been different.
Point well taken. Thank you for the call. 8:42. It is Friday morning. We got a few minutes left here. I noticed that Diner 62 delivered breakfast. Gosh, it looks good. It smells like meat with gravy on it. Let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello. 1-2. Hello. Going once, going twice. Something tells me that there is a... Yeah, that's a butt dial. Okay, that's the way that goes. Hey, a couple of things I wanted to mention, though. Hey, we haven't talked about the measures for quite some time. I've had a sign behind me in which all, if you have yet to vote, I'm recommending no on all five of the state measures. All five of the state measures, and there's just absolutely no doubt about that. One of them, and I just wanted to give you briefly, I detail this more on KMED.com on the Bill Maher blog. I actually do have my voting recommendations, voting suggestions that you go there. And before I even get into the measures, I wanted to mention something which has still not gotten enough play yet. And I've been talking about this for months, if not years. And Richard Emmons talked about it on Lars' show yesterday. Richard Emmons from the Oregon Eagle. It has to do with the scam of the governor of Oregon getting to choose our judges. And then we end up having governor handpicked judges that run as incumbents. And this is happening in Jackson County right now. And I know that there are people who are friends or they've said, well, you know, Judge Matt, the incumbent. Is just fine. I talked to his family, et cetera, et cetera. He came to the door. All right. Here's the deal. The incumbent judge in position 11, this was a position that was created by the state legislature. It was created this year. Governor Kotek appointed a person with 60 days to go before the election. I think that's wrong. And I know that Johan Pietila, the person that I would hope you would vote for, was in a meeting with the current judge. And here's how it works. It was a Democrat-leaning group that they were all hanging out with, and they were talking. And I guess one of the people conducting the meeting, now they, I know this is hearsay, but I have no doubt this sort of stuff goes on, and said, oh, well, this is the judge that Governor Kotek picked, hand-picked. And then the rest of the people at the meeting going, oh, Governor Kotek picked. That's how the scam works. That's how the scam works. We have left-wing governors that choose candidates that they prefer. And then they run as incumbents in the next election. And no one will challenge these judges, with rare exception, for the rest of their career, unless there's some real problems going on. All right? Don't choose the governor, or don't choose the judge, rather, that Governor Kotek picked, in my opinion. One of my goals over the next few years is to try to break the back of this governor, all the left-wing governors appointing our judges. So that's why I suggested Johan Pietila. Because otherwise, you're still getting the same. And by the way, I'm not saying that Judge Matt's a bad guy. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But still, the governor knew that there was something there that she wanted as part of the agenda. That's why there's this unspoken kind of rule that everybody knows in the legal community. And the legal community does not like talking about this stuff. They really don't. They kind of like it being kept as the good old boys and good old girls club controlled by the Democrat governor, essentially. That's the way it is. And the rule is, the unspoken rule is that you got a few months before you're going to retire, or you're thinking you're not going to want to run for re-election. You don't serve your term and then just have an open seat where a couple of judicial candidates start duking it out with one another. They resign before it's over. And then the judge is selected by the governor. Wash, rinse, repeat. Well, with Judge Matt Rowan, that's what happened here. Judge Matt Rowan got selected by Governor Kotek. Hand-selected by Governor Kotek. And, of course, then the Democrat operatives, isn't this wonderful? Kind of like implying that, this is the mark of quality. No, it's the mark of leftist politics. I like elected judges. You make a choice. And I would dare say, unless you're voting for Tina Kotek, I would vote against her judicial candidates that are put on the ballot. Okay? Just saying. All right. And that being said, Measure 115, impeachment, no. No on the impeachment. Requires two-thirds majority. It'll be used for Democrats to get rid of Republicans, if Republicans end up making it. And it also takes the right of recall away from the people, puts it in the hands of the legislature. 116, amends Constitution, establishes independent public service compensation commission to determine salaries. This is so Democrats don't have to, raise their salaries in the open. They want the commission to do it for them. No on that. Okay? Measure 117, ranked choice voting, so complex. By the way, there is some news on ranked choice voting. They have ranked choice voting in Multnomah County. Secretary of State just released today, some of the races in Portland using ranked choice voting will not be displayed on the Secretary of State's reporting site because even they won't be able to figure out how complex it is. They probably won't know who has won the election that night because of having to rerun it. Ranked choice voting is so good that the state legislature exempted itself from being used against them. So even the state legislature controlled by the Democrats knew ranked choice voting is bad. It's bad for their races. They don't want it for their races. They want the regular 50% plus one and they win, right? That's what they want. That's what they want for themselves. But they want ranked choice voting for everything else to screw the rest of us up and elect more Democrats ultimately, okay? Number 118, increasing minimum taxes and then doing the $1,600 rebates. Bad, bad, bad. Chase more business out of the state. That's really all that's about. And then the cannabis retailers have to remain neutral. In other words, shut their mouth if the workers want to unionize. I'm not a fan of telling anybody they have to shut their mouth, okay? 119 should be a big fat no, too. 770-5633. I'll be right back, and we'll wrap it up with your calls. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe.
Hey, Renee, you had some questions about some of the ballot measures and such. What was that again? Go ahead.
It gets confusing, and so I was just curious, basically voting no on everything. And I was really torn with the one at RCC.
Oh, at RCC? I was torn on 17-119 also. Because I support what RCC does, I'm not a fan of 17-119. I voted no on that. And it's because it takes the whole district and just totals the whole vote. I don't like the idea that Jackson County can win on 17-119 and it forces Josephine County to raise their taxes in spite of the fact that they might not have wanted that. I'm also questioning that enrollment is going down in a lot of these public schools right now. Even RCC is still not back up to pre-COVID. And there seems to be a big deal about building a lot of infrastructure I'm not sure we need it yet at this point in time. And I'm a little concerned that we're going to have to pay for this over 20, 25 years. It's a lot of money. Okay?
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. So there we go. I would hope that they would try again and split it up. You know, if Josephine County wants to increase its campus, it can approve a bond for its campus. Jackson County, same thing. All right, let me go to Ed. Ed, you're here. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, Bill, I would like to say that I agree with you on vote no on all of those, but I do it for a slightly different reason. Rather than, you know, going into the minutia of the analyzation of all of them and talking points and different things, I just look at it. Foundationally, we're at a critical point in history, and why would we want to change our Constitution at this time? And I look at the past, at the history. Everybody here in Oregon knows the progressive nature of the intrusions that have been coming against us with these constitutional changes.
And most of these changes, even in the measures, are coming from a progressive legislature controlled by Democrats. Why would you even give it to
That's
them?
Exactly
folks?
Right.
And, all right.
And their thing is an incremental thing. If they get one out of the five, they're happy. But look at the audacity that they put five changes to our Constitution. Well, I look at this and I say, no, not on my watch. I'm not going to vote for anything of this. I'm not going to listen to your argument, because if you buy into the progressive argument in any part, if you get overwhelmed with their real spin on the thing, then and you vote one of them in, then we lose long term. That's the reality.
That is a great takeaway from it, Ed. And thank you for the call. All right, good stuff. Yeah. You vote one in, it's still getting more camels, progressive camels' noses into the tent, okay? Let me get to Don. Hello, Don. You're on.
Thank you. What Ed said, okay? Now, these ballot measures are made so that Oregon feels like a participatory government. In point of fact, none of these ballot measures are necessary. And for 118, it's elementary that corporations do not pay taxes. And for 117, imagine the supporters cannot explain the why or the mechanism.
Yeah, that's the ranked choice voting. And you're right about the corporations. Corporations don't pay taxes. The customers of the corporations pay the taxes, and that means it's people like you and me and everybody else that buys the services. Okay?
So as I said, there is no evidence a Republican exists in Salem. If there was even a representative number of Republicans in the state legislature, these ballot measures would not be there.
Indeed. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Steve. Steve, we're burning daylight, but let's see if we can have you burn a lamp here. Okay? Light it up.
Now, okay, Bill, I want to talk about Medicare. My wife has some significant health issues, and for some reason, a couple things have gotten screwed up. And without an advocate, you get completely lost from Medicare, because if you don't get things – she has a BiPAP machine, and her BiPAP machine ended up being out of service because it was 5 years old. So they wanted to get her a new BiPAP machine. They sent her in for a sleep study, and then they they said she had 80 episodes an hour, but they didn't get all the data they needed, so they sent her in for a second sleep study.
Yeah, I'm almost out of time, so if you can get to the point, though, where are you going?
Well, no matter what, if you're on Medicare and you have a life-saving therapy that you depend on, and it gets fouled up for some bureaucratic reason, it's almost impossible to fix. And especially if you have cognitive issues and you just can't deal with the bureaucracy, it's just disgusting.
Well, it's to be expected with the program, I guess, unfortunately. I appreciate the call. Sorry for your challenge there. Let me go to line one. Hello, who's this?
Bill.
No. Yes.
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
What are the odds that Trump could be elected by the people, but not certified as president in the House of Representatives?
What are the odds?
Yeah. If the Democrats control the House of Representatives in this election.
The House of Representatives is considered a toss-up at this point for control. You're right about that. That is a real wrinkle. And
I didn't know if you had heard that. Mm-hmm. I just recently read it here 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah, I did too. I must have been reading many of the same sources. But yeah, there is not a guarantee right now. Republican control, even then, Republican control is just a handful. What was it, like 3 or 4 at best? And there is a concern that maybe it's not going to be. It does appear that Republicans will have the Senate. But you're right. It's the House that actually certifies that presidential election, isn't it?
Well, that's as I understand it.
Well, this could be the next wrinkle in the, protecting our democracy sort of thing. So please vote. Give it a big, big, big popular vote one way or the other. And then I guess we'll fight that battle when it's over. Okay, Jerry? I got to roll. I wish you a good weekend. If you haven't voted yet, please do. We'll talk more about the issues here. Decompress this weekend for sure. We'll talk Monday.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner?